Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labour and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. And then Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Well, good evening, everybody. And I'm really, really glad you've joined for this evening's service. Let me lead us in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come to this bit of your word, we pray, please teach us. Please encourage us, point us to Christ, and help us to live for him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, a few months ago, I read about a couple who went on an all-round-the-world boat trip. They went for about 4 or 5 months. They left in the autumn and came back in the spring. Now, they were in touch with their family along the way, but they'd said to them right at the outset, please don't keep us in touch with what's going on in the news. We want to kind of unplug from all of that. They didn't have any newspapers or news apps on their phone. No knowledge of what was going on in the world. Anyway, they arrived back up into the UK in the spring. Now, I want you to imagine that that was you. You'd missed everything, all the news to do with the coronavirus pandemic. And you arrive up in the UK in spring. And as you arrive up on the south coast, before you turn your phone back on to get the latest on Brexit, or so you think, you pop into a shop to get some dinner. And to your confusion, you see people queuing up outside with great big distances between them. And you think, that's odd. There's hardly anybody. There's only about 10 people in the shop. What are they doing? It doesn't make sense. What is the point of this rule that they're keeping? Finally, you get into the shop and you see that on the floor everywhere there are arrows pointing you around the shop, enforcing a one-way system. And again, you think, well, this is just weird. I don't get this. You know, this isn't a kid's soft play. I'm not going to run around this shop and be in danger of bumping into someone and knocking them over. Why do we have to do this one-way system? I don't get it. It's weird. It's odd. Well, you see, the thing is that out of context, some rules just don't make any sense at all. They just seem odd or arbitrary. It's only when we understand the context of a rule that we really begin to understand it. Well, this evening we're going to be looking at the fourth commandment. And just like that couple were confused by the social distancing and so on, well, so too we might be really confused by this fourth commandment. We don't get it. What's it about? You might be thinking to yourself, look, I get some of the other commandments. You know, you shall have no other gods before me. I get that. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. I get that. Those make sense to me. But the Sabbath? A day when work is forbidden? It can just seem very odd to us. And I think that is compounded when we read about the consequences of the Israelites breaking this fourth commandment. In Numbers 15, an Israelite man is out on the Sabbath and he's gathering sticks. He's caught and God says he must be put to death. And he is put to death. And I guess that most of us think, you know, just like that couple in the shop, we just don't get it. Gathering sticks? What's the problem with gathering sticks? He's not committing adultery. He's not committing murder. He's just gathering sticks. Surely this whole thing is overblown. It's overkill. It's an odd commandment. So why the Sabbath? Why was it so important? Well, tonight I want us to think on three questions when it comes to the Sabbath. First of all, what was it all about? Secondly, why? Why was it given? And thirdly, how? How does it apply to us today? What, why, and how? Firstly, what was the Sabbath all about? Well, I think you'll have picked it up from the reading. It was all about stopping work. Let me just read those verses again from Exodus 20. Verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labour and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. The word Sabbath literally means cease or stop. So the Sabbath day is the stop day. Rather than working every day of the week, the people were to concentrate their work into the first 6 days. Days 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 were given to ploughing and sowing and reaping and buying and selling and gathering and so on. So that on day 7, everything could stop. Animals still needed feeding, sure. People still needed feeding, sure. But otherwise, all unnecessary work would stop. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, go days. Saturday, the Sabbath, the stop day. And in that sense, the Sabbath was to be different. It was to be set apart from the other days of the week. It was to be special. And that's what's meant by keeping it holy. Not meaning that the Israelites ought to make an extra special effort to be godly on the Sabbath, but meaning that it in and of itself was to be holy. It was to be a day set apart from the other days of the week for God. Not to be used for people's tasks, but kept free for God. That's what holy means, set apart for God. So it's all about stopping work. And it was for everyone in Israel. I wonder if you picked that up again also from the reading. Verse 10. On it you shall not do any work. But it goes on, it's not just you. Neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. That is, it was to be a stop day, not a delegate day. So there was to be no saying, oh, look, I'm keeping the Sabbath today, so son, it's up to you to go out and gather the sticks. No. Even the lowliest immigrant servant, even the work animals, weren't to be given any work. Everyone was to stop. And I guess in that sense, it would have felt a little bit like what Christmas Day is like in the UK. Walk down the street, all shops are closed, all offices are locked up. There was this pervasive silence, no sounds of planes overhead or of buses or of lawnmowers, everything shut down. So it was a day of stopping work for everyone in Israel. That's what it was about. But why? Why was it given? Why were the people to keep it? What were the reasons for keeping the Sabbath? Because this really is what's important. Well, I think there are four reasons given for the Sabbath rule. Firstly, keeping the Sabbath goes with the grain of how God made the world. I was chatting to someone this week who was telling me about whittling, kind of carving wood with a knife. And he was saying that, look, one of the fundamental principles of whittling is that you go with the grain of the wood. You can't impose your exact design on the piece of wood because it might have a knot in it. Or the grain might be going in a different way. You've got to go with the grain. You've got to go round the knot, because otherwise it'll split and splinter. You've got to respect the piece of wood and go with the grain. Well, keeping the Sabbath was going with the grain of how God made the world. It synced with the way that God established his creation. You see that in verse 11. The reason given for the Sabbath. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So God takes his people back to when he made the world. And his pattern was that he worked for 6 days and then rested on the seventh. Not though because he needed to rest, he didn't need to rest, but rather to give us and to give them an example to follow, to establish this pattern of 6 days work, 1 day rest, to show us how things work best in his world. And when you think about God's creation, there are all sorts of patterns in it. You think of days, morning, afternoon, evening, nighttime, morning, afternoon, evening, nighttime. There's a rhythm and a pattern. We think of seasons, spring, summer, autumn, winter, and so on. Well, likewise, God wrote this Sabbath pattern into the very fabric of his creation. Work, 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 stop. Work, 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 stop. And in stopping on the seventh day, when God made the world, God shows us that pattern. So keeping the Sabbath goes with the grain of how God made the world. Second reason for keeping the Sabbath was that keeping the Sabbath was a way to remember God's rescue. You get this really from Deuteronomy chapter 5, when we have the law repeated for us. In Deuteronomy 5, it says, observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Then in verse 15, we're given the reason. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. So the Israelites were to keep the Sabbath day as a way of remembering God's rescue, a weekly reminder that he had saved them, and a very tangible one as well. I guess on a given week, on days 1 to 6, the people would have felt the difference between life there for them then and life in Egypt. There would have been a significant difference for them. But on the Sabbath day, that difference would have been much bigger. They would have really felt the difference. Back in Egypt, Pharaoh was making them work the whole time, never giving them a rest, slaving them into the ground. Whilst here, under God, God enforces a day of rest for them, for their good. The difference between then and before was felt acutely on the Sabbath. It was a wonderful way of remembering God's rescue of them. That's the second reason for keeping the Sabbath. Third reason for keeping the Sabbath was that it was a way of trusting God to provide. Some of you, I imagine, will have children who are of age or who are learning to drive. Maybe they've just passed their test. And it's very easy, maybe you find it's very easy to say the words, oh, of course, I trust you to drive safely. Of course I do. Easy to say, but of course the real test is not what we say, but what we do. The real test is whether we are prepared to hand over the keys to them. Well, we see, the Sabbath day was a way for people not just to say, God, I trust you to provide, but to hand over the keys to God, to put that trust into practice by stopping work for a day. And we see later on in Exodus that the people were to keep the Sabbath day even in harvest season, when there was real pressure on to get the harvest in. And you can imagine the conversations on the farm. Someone saying, well, look, of course I trust God to provide. Of course I do. But we've got to work the Sabbath, because if we don't, we won't get this grain in. And if we don't, we won't have enough food, and we'll not have enough. And with this fourth commandment, God is saying to the Israelites, look, you've got to show me that you trust me to provide by keeping the Sabbath, even when it's harvest. So third reason for keeping the Sabbath, it is a way of trusting God to provide. And then fourth reason for keeping the Sabbath was, of course, that it was the sign of the Mosaic covenant. In Exodus 31, God says the Sabbaths are a sign between me and you. You are to celebrate it as a lasting covenant. At the Sabbath was the sign of the special relationship between God and his people. And in that sense, the Sabbath was a bit like a wedding ring for Old Testament Israel. A wedding ring is a sign of the marriage covenant. And when you wear it, it really means something. It says, I'm married. I'm in a covenant relationship with my spouse. Not wearing it, likewise, really means something. Of course, not everyone wears a wedding ring. That's fine. Sometimes people take it off for playing sports so their fingers don't get bashed. Fine. But if I deliberately take off my wedding ring and stop wearing it, not just for sport, but out and about and at work and when I'm in town, that means something, doesn't it? It speaks volumes about how I view the marriage. It says, look, that marriage covenant means nothing to me anymore. We puzzled earlier about the man who was gathering sticks on the Sabbath, who was put to death. Doesn't make any sense. Unless we realise that he decided to take the ring off, to say by his actions, look, this covenant with you, God, it means nothing to me anymore. The Sabbath, keeping the Sabbath, was the sign of the Mosaic covenant between God and his people. So what have we said? Well, what was the Sabbath about? It was about stopping work for everyone in Israel. Why was it given? Well, it was to help Israel to go with the grain of creation, to remind them weekly of God's rescue, for them to show God that they trusted him to provide, and it was the sign of the covenant between Old Testament Israel and God. But then how does it apply to us today? Well, I think there are three ways in which it applies. Firstly, this fourth commandment calls on us to come to Jesus for rest. I wonder if you ever have the experience where you see a shadow on the wall and you think to yourself, whose shadow is that? What is that a shadow of? Well, Colossians 2 tells us that this Sabbath day was a shadow of Jesus who was to come, Christ's shadow. It has the contours and the shape of Jesus. In what way is it a shadow of Jesus? Well, just as the Sabbath day gave people rest, so Christ also gives spiritual rest. Rest from our constant strivings to make ourselves acceptable to God. He gives us that free, so we don't need to strive anymore for that. Rest. Rest from a lifetime of longings that just don't satisfy us. He gives us satisfaction in relationship with him. And rest for our souls, having found the person for whom we were made. So the Sabbath day commandment for us as New Testament Christians calls us to come to him and to keep coming to him as the one who is able to give us rest for our souls. And I think in that sense, Jesus redefines rest for us. My guess is that when we think of rest, we think of all of the secondary things to do with rest. The time off work, the getting away, catching up and sleep, the sun lounger, the novel, the swimming pool, and so on. But those things, as enjoyable and as good and relaxing as they are secondary when it comes to rest, because true rest, rest for our souls, is found only in relationship with Jesus. I guess for many, August is a time off holiday, and that is great, and that is important and good. I think this is telling us, look, on your holiday, don't take a holiday from Jesus, because he is where true rest is found. The Sabbath is calling us to come to Jesus for rest. The Sabbath was the shadow of the reality, which is Jesus. That's the first way I think this applies. Secondly, I think this calls on us not to ignore the Sabbath pattern, but instead to keep this 1 in 7 pattern of work and rest, to show us that it is wise to seek to live in sync with the way that God made the world, to keep with the grain of his creation. Now, it's worth here acknowledging that Christians who take the Bible seriously and who want to obey God differ on how they see the Sabbath applying in the New Testament. Some will see Sunday as the Christian Sabbath, which is to be kept special. Others will see Sunday as the day of Christ's resurrection, as the day of the Lord, the day when New Testament believers seem to meet, but not as an equivalent of the Old Testament Sabbath. People will think differently, and we've got to respect each other, each other's consciences, each other's understanding of God's word. We will differ, but at the very least, all of us will want to live as if we believe that God made this world by keeping this 1 in 7 pattern of work and rest. And I think that if we do that, that will really stand out in our culture. We live in a world that is full of workaholics, people who always seem tied to their email, who never seem able to log out. But in this world of workaholics, we are called to be the sober ones, the ones who have got work under control, who work hard, yes, for 6 days, yes, but who aren't mastered by it, who can say, no, not today, because I'm resting, respecting the way that God has made the world. And if we do that, I think that will really stand out and speak volumes in our world. Speaking, of course, that we trust God to provide for us, that we trust that God knows what is best for us. So the second way this applies is that we're not to ignore this Sabbath pattern in God's creation. Third way I think this applies is that it is a call to keep meeting together. It seems that in the Old Testament, on the Sabbath day, the people stopped work and gathered to remember that God had rescued them. And of course, for us, that still very much applies. It's absolutely key that we keep gathering. Of course, at the moment, with these extraordinary circumstances, that's not always going to be possible. And that is one of the trials of this season. Some can, some can't, and that's just messy. It's not straightforward. And of course, we respect each other's different health circumstances and consciences. But in general, this is a call to prioritise gathering. Prioritise it over work commitments, to prioritise gathering over sporting commitments, even over family commitments. It's really, really key if we're going to be those who keep remembering God's rescue. So it's a call to come, and to come regularly, or at the moment to tune in, and to keep tuning in, and to log on, and to connect, as we worship the one who gives us true rest, and as we remember his rescue of us. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this fourth commandment to keep the Sabbath. And we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, for the one who gives us true rest for our souls. We pray, please, that we might be those who come to him, who live in line with how you have made the world, and who are those who don't give up meeting together, but keep coming together to remember the Lord Jesus and to remember the rescue that he has won for us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we close, we're going to sing, "I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest."